Joining us now, he's the fifth-ranked long driver in the world. He's also sponsored by Encore, friend of ours, Ryan Steenberg, joins us. Ryan, welcome to the Golf Shop.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man. So, first off, let's talk a little Encore golf balls. I mean, do you really weird people out with how long these things go? I mean, I know you hit it long anyway, but Encore golf balls go really long, don't they?
Encore golf balls go a long way. Matter of fact, I actually just got off the course. I was hitting for a charity event out here and bombing those Encores about 402, 405 all day long. So in the Northeast, anything over 400 is a long way. So those golf balls fly. There's no doubt about that.
Wait a minute. I'm hitting them too, and mine don't go 405. What's up with that?
It takes a little bit of speed. Just come see me. I'll fix that.
Mine go like 305. So I'm okay. I'm right there. Okay. It's just when they go 305 into somebody's breakfast nook is when I have a problem with it.
That's okay. They still love watching the ball fly, right?
Exactly. All right, so talk to me a little bit about, first off, how'd you get into long drive?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a common story. Guys will say kind of they fell into long drive. I think long drive found me, to be honest with you. PGA Show, 2011, I just got into the golf business. I'm a strength and conditioning coach, certified strength and conditioning coach in golf. And went down there to kind of network and ended up meeting up with the Crank Long Drive team, who now are some of my very best friends on tour. And they invited me into their exhibition, indoor exhibition and simulator. I qualified for the finals, went up against Landon Gentry, Kevin Shook, Ryan Winther, and ended up beating them head on in the event. And, you know, president of Crank Golf, Lance Reeder, asked me how long it's been doing long drive. I said about, you know, 30 minutes, and the rest is history.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, so how's the strength and conditioning part of it going on?
For me personally, it's amazing. You know, it's been amazing. I was a collegiate athlete, quarterback, linebacker. After college, I got into a little bit of powerlifting. You know, I was just seeing how big I could get and how many 45-pound plates I could put on the bar. But I always played golf. So I had a very sound golf swing, even at that time. And you know, I got in the golf business and said, you know, I better be able to turn and be able to see out my rear view window while driving. So, you know, I better get a little bit more mobile and lose some of my meat jacket. And so I started stretching, you know, changed my exercise routine, my training routine to more of, you know, an athletic performance-based program, you know, with more multi-joint movements, explosive movements, and stopped isolating. And, you know, I mean, I went up like 20 miles an hour in a year. So,
oof.
You know, that's, yeah. And now, I mean, that's basically what it, that's the foundation of my training.
Well, I don't know.
I'm back to the athlete I used to be.
You know, my producer, Jake's sitting here. Jake, I'm allergic to 45-pound plates. How about you?
Not on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Not on Thanksgiving. That's the only time we get a 45-pound plate. Is
I love it.
Yeah, filling it up with turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes.
Sure.
Yeah. Talk to me about the last couple of years of long drive. I mean, I'm looking at some of the 2017 stats, had a bunch of semifinals in 2018,
yep.
Won the Bash for Cash. I mean, what kind of distance do you have to get to win these things? So what did it take to win the Bash for Cash this year?
My longest ball was 420 yards down at the Bash for Cash. You know, it's a point system. It's round robin. So, you know, you hit, you accumulate points, they cut the field, you hit, you accumulate points, they cut the field, and then it's, you know, it's almost a shootout type of format in the finals. So you just got to be longer than the buddy next to you. So anything, you know, up there, anything competitive, you know, anything over 400 yards was a really big ball for those conditions in that grid. The grid was only 42 yards wide. So that's thread and a needle for us, you know, at 400 yards. So it was a difficult. It was a difficult test. You know, it was.
Yeah,
and, obviously happy to get the W.
I think people, you know, fail to understand sometimes. You know, if you've got the average golfer that hits their driver maybe 225, 230, it's hard for them to understand sometimes the margin of error. I mean, when your swing speeds are up around, and I don't know what your average swing speed is, but when your swing speed's up around the numbers that you're getting. I mean, you know, a half a degree can be, you know, off the grid at that point.
Oh, 30 yards. Yeah, easy. I would say, you know, they talked about it last year at World Championships on TV. I would say probably effectively our grid is anywhere between 15 and 18 yards wide, you know, on a 50-yard wide grid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get conditions, you know, you get conditions involved, like the Atlantic City tournament. we had a 53-yard wide grid with a 20-mile-an-hour crosswind. So, you know, trying to hit the ball 370 yards up there. So, you know, that was threading the needle. You know, I mean, guys were starting the ball 20 yards right at the grid and drawing it in. You know, some guys were trying to hit cuts under the wind. So, you know, sometimes it's not just about teeing high and pounding it. You know, there is strategy, and, you know, we do have to place the ball, you know, in the grid, depending on conditions and so forth. So it's getting quite competitive.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, so, you know, it's not, like you said, it's not just, you know, trying to rip one straight and far. It's looking at the grid. How much rollout am I going to get? Is it a fast grid? Is it a slow grid? Is there some kind of slope in the grid, some kind of speed slot that you can catch?
Yep.
But what would be your average shot in terms of shape? Are you going to try and hit it straight? Are you going to shape it one way or the other? Is it low? Is it high? Is it mid? Kind of give me a feel for that.
Well, benign conditions, I mean, we want to hit flat and hard. So we want to hit a ball that just kind of just gets out in the air and stays in the air. You know, it doesn't balloon, doesn't spin up, just stays flat. And then obviously falls left. It's got a little bit of overspin. That's going to roll for us. Anything straight, low spin, or flat draw, low spin is a nuke for us. You know, it's just funny. So, I mean, we talk about the last 3 years for me. I finished second in the world in 2016 on a cut. I was hitting cuts at 400, 420 yards, which is, you know, it doesn't really work for distance, for the distance game, but it did that night for me. You know, we spent the last 2 years getting my ball turning right to left, which has brought me, you know, obviously, some a lot of success in the sport. And that's, you know, that's my preferred ball flight now.
So, again, we're talking with Ryan Steenberg, fifth-ranked long drive in the world. Talk to me, you know, we watch guys on TV. We watch, like, Brooks Koepka, and we watch Dustin Johnson, and we watch Bubba Watson, and we watch McIlroy, and even Tiger now. These guys, sure. You know, I mean, Justin Thomas was hitting multiple tee shots, you know, 350, 370 yesterday. But when you start looking at, and it was funny because I sit there and I giggle, I saw, like, a clip, you know, that was like, watch this 370-yard drive from Justin Thomas, but they actually had the numbers on it, and the ball landed at, like, 297 and rolled, like, 70 yards. You know, if you guys hit that same tee shot, where's it going on that hole? It's probably going over the green.
Yeah, they got rolled runways. Nothing against those guys. I mean, they move to earth when they hit the ball. But, you know, ball speed comparison, I guess that would be the best way to play it. I mean, Justin Thomas is up there, 181, 182, you know, 183 miles per hour. We're up around 220 now, you know, 221, 223, some of the biggest hitters in this sport. So if the ball flight characteristics are there and the spin rates are there, I mean, that ball is going forever, probably landing at 370.
Right, and I think that's what people fail to understand. You know, I mean, and for me, TV skews distance so much. I mean, you know, he's got 240 yards and he's hitting a 5-iron. Well, he's landing the 5-iron at 210 and it's rolling on the front of the green or a yard short and it's rolling, you know, 30 yards back to the pin because the greens are so dang hard. But you guys are talking about you're flying it. If you're hitting it 450, you know, you're flying it what?
390.
Yeah.
Yeah, 390, 400. 410, just depends on the conditions.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some rollout, but the difference in actual carry is where it's at, isn't it?
Yeah. So Denver last year, I went 485 yards in Denver on television, and, I mean, we flew that ball 450, 440.
Mm.
You know, so 45 yards a roll, which is a par four for a long par four.
So how many drivers do you go through in, let's say, in all the events that you're going to go through? Well, let's use 2017. All the events that you hit in 2017 through all the rounds, all the balls that you had to hit, how many drivers broke?
I hit for Crank Golf that year. I probably broke 8 of them.
And where do they break? And that's the question. Where do they break? Does the head just disintegrate, or is it the shaft, or is it a combination of things?
All over the place. You know, I mean, if there's a defect in the metal, you know, you're going to get breakage there. But usually right at the crown, right on top where the welds, where they weld the face, you know, the body of the head, you know, we'll pop the welds.
Mm.
Some guys will break the face vertically. I mean, you get some weird breaks sometimes. Yeah.
So when we talk about playing a normal round of golf, not using a long drive driver, You know, what's a normal round of golf for you? And you know, score wise, and is it enjoyable, or would you just rather tee it up and go for the long drive stuff?
No, I love playing golf. I mean, it's a big breath of air for me, breath of life going off. You know, I mean, we're still swinging it. You know, we're still swinging it 138, 142 miles an hour with a playing driver. So, you know, 50, 60, 370 still. I play down to about a 3, so I'll shoot, you know, 72, 75, 76. I guess my excuse is I've never gotten paid putting the ball. So I practice what pays me.
Exactly.
I'm a smart young man. Yeah. So my wife likes food on the table, so I'll hit more drivers than putters. But yeah, I mean, I love playing golf. I played since I was 3 years old, and you know, it's a life sport for me. So.
All right, so talk to me about let's say we're going into one of the later rounds, a semifinal or a final round. And what's your prep like? How much prep do you want to build to have for the build up, and what kind of things do you do to get yourself going and getting ready to hit?
Yeah, no, I mean, the semifinal rounds, obviously, there's a lot more adrenaline involved. There's a lot more pressure involved, you know, because you're starting to get you know there's a check on waiting for you at the other end, and obviously a trophy, you know. I just try to, you know, just try to stay calm, just try to get all the thoughts out of your head. You know, that could stay, you know, that could get in the way, the barriers that could be built mentally, you know, from just thinking about the semifinals or the finals and just reverting back to what you practice for, you know, which is just kind of that even smooth tempo, you know, good contact and just trust your training. You know, going into tournaments, you know, I train less, I'll increase my ball strike and I'll hit more balls. Pre-round, obviously, you know, good night's sleep, nutrition. It is important for me. And then, you know, just work through my clubs, you know, and try to see what the ball's doing that day. Because, you know, golf tends to have a personality sometimes. You know, if the ball flight's different, you know, and then that's what's happening, then we play what we woke up with on that day. So.
Well, let me ask one last question. Sure. You know, do you kind of have one? Do you have a get in the grid swing that you kind of start out with, or are you just trying to crush them from the start?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this day and age, these youngsters coming up, you know, I mean, somebody could plant their first ball out there 390, you know, 95, 430 yards, you know, so it's kind of like hitting that first strike in baseball, you know, and putting a home run swing on it, you know, and that's what our prep's for, though, you know, the range time and so forth. I mean, we're going to go to the grid and put 8 really big swings on it. But, you know, obviously, you know, if you know your competitors, and when we're in the semifinals, the finals, and there's only 2 guys on the box at a time, you know, at that point you can kind of time, you know, go ball for ball sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of guys will bring a playing driver out there,
mm-hmm.
just in case your competitor's OB.
Right.
And then we'll, you know, then we'll try to groove a little, you know, 300-yard ball out there and get a win. Just got to post the number. So.
Oh, well, awesome, man. Well, Ryan, man, I love talking to long drive guys and kind of sure. getting the insights of it, and appreciate you coming on with us.
Absolutely. Anytime. I appreciate you having me. Thank you.